Masturbation Takes a Holiday.
The guy had a starring role in a film called Cream Pie Apocalypse.
I don't think I've ever heard a Phish song.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm the host, episode 242 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm playing hurt. Fucked up my neck at the gym, and I don't want to hear from anybody about the time I fucked up my wrists at the gym. This is a different thing. This one's on me. But I'm in a lot of pain, and so I've augmented my reality in an effort to help my physical, how I feel. And so if I sound even dumb, and it's already starting, I can tell. If I sound even dumber than I normally do on the show, that's my excuse. Thank you very much for joining the show. Thank you for being a part of our world. Thank you especially to people like LZ, not in the bras, who wrote on iTunes, "I mostly kind of like these guys." 5 stars. "I love the dope conversations about nothing and how the influences of nothing mean so much to my future. I try like hell to get friends onto this, but to be honest, they are not worthy. If you are reading this, you are worthy. Hashtag fact." Well, thank you, I think, LZ. I like the 5 stars. No, I don't 100% understand the review, but that's okay. You did something, and that I appreciate. Another one. "Greatness in a sea of podcast mediocrity." I totally agree with that. This is from Umpire Doug. "Brian, Ed, and Fancy give us a weekly dose of humorous observations and irreverent commentary that makes this an oasis of greatness in a desert of podcast suckitude. Has something for everyone." Also, 5-star review. Thank you for that, Umpire Doug. Feel free, if you're listening to the show, to go to iTunes and leave us a review. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast, leave us a 5-star review. It would very much be appreciated. I noticed that a couple more 1-stars have snuck in there. We're up to 4 1-star reviews on iTunes. So whatever you could do to balance that out would be great. Joining us now, as always, he's the co-host. His name is Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing a little worse. You said we're adding more 1-star reviews?
Yeah, we've got 4 1-star. At first it was, I think the guy that we beefed with, the guy that said we were too political, I think he was a 2-star guy.
And then he downgraded us?
No, I think, so we have 1 2-star. We have 133 5-star reviews, which is pretty sad considering that many, many, many times more people than that listen every week. And then we have 1 2-star review, who's the guy that didn't like that we got too political. And then we have 4 1-star reviews from guys that don't put their name on it and just want to be fucking assholes. So fuck you guys. And you nice people out there that are entertained by what we do, go ahead and leave a 5-star review to counteract those 1-stars. Yeah. That's where we're at. And we have 0 4-stars and 3-stars, which is kind of, imagine if you had all 3-star reviews. That would be a bummer. I don't want to be in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I was trying to find the one guy. This was a year ago. "Solid podcast every week" was my initial review. Yeah, was Team Current episode until the boys got political. What? Yeah,
that's the guy that we beefed with.
We talk about what's going on in the world, and then we're just not allowed to talk about certain things. Yeah.
Right. Well, if you disagree with them, if you disagree,
I have a political thing. I have a couple of political related things that really are just funny or scary, depending on how you look at it. I was reading a story this morning about they were interviewing people at Trump rallies and do they care when he lies? And I thought this quote from a woman, this is in Fort Myers, she goes, "I don't care if he sprouts a third dick up there." Third?
A third?
Was it already reported Trump has two penises?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, that's, I feel like that should have been mentioned.
A third dick?
And what does that even mean? You don't,
I don't know. Care? It's kind of great,
I
mean, though.
I would
I
care
like
if
it.
Anyone had three penises. I would be intrigued. Well, here's a political thing that if it's, you know, the 1930s in Europe, you'd probably be offended, but I'm just going to bring it up. I was coming home from the airport Sunday night, and my Uber driver was just asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, about what kind of sex parties you want to go to and stuff, like mine did that one time.
He was talking about, you know, what do you do? And I was like, well, you know. I said, I just, you know, submitted my book for, you know, to a new round of publishers, trying to get something there. And then he asked what it was about, and I was talking about history. And he goes, yeah, you know, I read something interesting the other day that Hitler was actually a pretty good guy. And, you know, it was this article and said, you know, he's really nice to people. And I said,
built a lot of roads.
I said, well, Where'd you read that? Like, I'm genuinely curious if there's a new angle, whether or not that makes him a good guy through history. I have my doubts. But I'd be curious if there was, like, some take. He goes, oh, I read it on Facebook. And so I was like, cool. Like, right. We're good here. Like, let's just leave it at that. And then
who's using their Facebook page to post, hey, by the way, in retrospect, Hitler, not a bad guy.
Like I don't know. Maybe the facts are still coming in. I thought we had enough time to figure it out, but
yeah, the wisdom of years.
But you know, he didn't say the Daily Stormer even. He just said Facebook. Like that was the origin of the source.
Well, that always drives me crazy when people are like, Facebook, I saw it on the internet. You realize that this is
right.
Facebook is a website on the internet
that's
that
like,
links
where'd you meet that
to
person?
Other websites.
I met him on Earth. Oh,
right.
Can you be
I
more
saw
specific?
It on the internet. Yeah, what is that? What does that mean? I heard it on a phone call. Oh, okay. Like, from fucking who?
Because I would be genuinely curious to read whatever angle it was. And when he just said Facebook, I knew that this is time to stop. It's just time to stop everything.
Yeah, the end.
So, in the, you know how like some Uber drivers and Lyft drivers just have like the sticker on their window. And some have like a little light up thing.
Yes.
Well, in the back seat, I realized by my feet, there was like a little light up Lyft thing.
Oh, but he was Ubering at the time.
He was Ubering, and I said, do you need this? Because I was actually stepping on it. I didn't know what I was stepping on.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, I used to be on Lyft, but I got suspended. I said, well, what were you suspended for? And this is while we were all like still taxiing to get out of the airport. Like, this is a minute into the drive. This was... I went in reverse order. The Nazi conversation happened like 2 minutes later.
Right.
But he goes, I got suspended because like they don't know how people drive around here, but they said I was driving too fast. And I don't know. I don't know how the rules are. Like maybe they say you can't go more than 5 over the speed limit. I don't know. So I was like, okay, cool. And then I just like put the Lyft thing back down. And then as soon as the light turns green, it's like he's trying to take us back to 1955. Like,
oh yeah,
white knuckle driving. I mean, he got me home. The fact that I'm talking to you is good news because he got me home in a 20-minute drive. He got me home in like 11 minutes. But
wow,
it was crazy. He was just running reds and he was insane.
What type of vehicle?
Sentra? Maybe a Sentra.
Oh, really? Oh man, that thing really had to work to get up to speed because it used to be in cabs. You take a cab was a fucking Crown Vic. It was a cop car and they had big ass V8s in them. They go fast.
Now, it was, if it wasn't a Sentra, it was something like that.
Right. Corolla, but, so right. in the subcompact category.
But I mean, it was definitely pedal to the metal behavior. And it was Sunday night at 10:30, 11 o'clock. So there was not going to be traffic, but he really pushed the rules. And then we got to the Nazi convo.
And the Hitler part.
That was enough for me. I felt like we were good at that point. It was any conversation was going to be bad for my life.
A lot of them are just real chatty, and I thought it was like out there that you're not supposed to chat. You're supposed to get an indicator from the rider as to whether or not they're interested in chatting, and if they're not chatting, as I imagine you weren't, and I never do, then you're not supposed to chat them up. That's like the rules of being a driver.
Yeah. I dislike small talk. However, I do, in my more mature age, I try to engage if they're looking to talk, because, you know, they're people. I feel like when somebody's doing a service for you, whether or not you're paying, I'm like, I don't want to treat them like they're fucking robots.
Oh, same here. I'll chat. Like, I'm not a dick. I'm not like, hey, shut the fuck up, I don't want to talk. I'll chat if I'm being chatted up, but I would prefer just a silent ride.
Yeah. I'll take silent. I'll even take their shitty music.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to listen to that rather than chat with me, that's better. But I, you know, I'll engage if they need to.
But
sometimes it turns into Hitler talk.
Fancy Sauce and I were in Palm Springs last weekend, and we went out to dinner, and I got a couple of very chatty drivers, and it's always kind of weird when it's like a 50-year-old Middle Eastern guy who's just straight up pumping loud top 40 radio.
Yes.
Where it's like, whoa, is this, why am I listening to Drake and Camila Cabello and all the shit that like my daughter listens to? You're a 50-year-old Middle Eastern dude. Like, is this the kind of music you listen to? It's a little shocking. Do you think they do that for the rider? Like, that's, they think
that is we're what makes me uncomfortable, because I don't want to get into a music discussion with anyone.
No.
However, I feel insulted that they think I'd be interested in that music.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts the feelings. Hey, here's another thing that I've just learned about, and I want to know if you're... Hold on a second. I think something happened to the board. I don't know if you heard that noise. Hold on. One of the mic cables might have come loose. I think we're good. What I was going to say is, have you seen people talking about No Nut November?
I saw one, you know, Instagram, like one of these shitty aggregator accounts, somebody talking about it, and I didn't realize it was a thing, or somebody specifically was doing it. I mean, why? Who's?
Yeah, what is it? It's apparently a thing, and so now I've just Googled it because I want to know what this is. Masturbation. This is from the Huffington Post. This is from the internet. Masturbation takes a holiday. No Nut November. What? In the last few years, November has become a month when people give thanks while giving up solitary pleasures. What? That's because a number of people are using November as a month to cool their jets, so to speak, and not masturbate. The hands-off holiday is colloquially called No Nut November, when men and women vow not to masturbate for 30 days. It's not as hard as it might sound. Well, no shit. Participants actually are allowed 3 strikes, and sex with a partner is okay. Well, that's what? Not very much. You're not really swearing much off. Like, that doesn't even count. So you could jack off almost once a week. You could get laid once and jack off 3 times, and you still would come in under the wire for No Nut November. Like, what's the point? I don't get it.
But when when you talk about like a dry January or,
yeah. You
know, yeah, whatever the different thing, you're doing something for health reasons.
Yeah. I would argue that no nut November is the opposite. You can't let.
You're going to be ornery. You're going to be a worse person.
Yes. I've tried to explain this to certain people I know that if that stuff doesn't come out of you, what happens?
You got to get the poison out.
Yeah. It backs up into your brain. Oh. And you start, this is just good science. It backs up into your brain and you start having crazy thoughts.
Yeah,
you start thinking things you normally wouldn't. You got to get it out.
I'm just edgier. I'm a worse version of myself.
Yeah. So I don't really know about No Nut November. Maybe somebody in this Huffington Post article doesn't really explain its origins too well, although it says it uses the word, my number one least favorite term for masturbation, FAP.
Oh, the worst. The worst. I've never used it outside of like a story we've talked about. Like I've never chosen to use that term. That's disgusting.
Yeah. It's such a gross sounding word. I mean, we don't need to come up with new words for wanking it at this stage.
I will say, not that I am saying much more than jerking off or something like that, but I can find the humor in a colloquialism.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, when somebody, not that, you know, when like, it's, taking all one eye, you know, there's like, you know, corny sayings. I can find them funny, but I wouldn't use it for myself. But FAP is just terrible.
It's disgusting.
It's a gross way of saying it.
It's horrible. Hate it. Is there anything else? Anybody that's got any knowledge on the whole No Nut November, or if you're participating, I'd like to know if you're participating in this, and I would like to hear your rationale.
Yeah. What is this a good idea? What makes this a good idea?
Yeah.
I will say one last thing. I was in Georgia this weekend and trying to watch football. I mean, Christ, I'm not in a battleground state. I mean, not even on a local level. It's just decided where I'm living in the area where I agree with the politicians, but every goddamn commercial break watching a football game, you're going to have, 15 commercial breaks, 20 commercial breaks?
It's a lot.
Everyone is a political ad. I feel for all of you in battleground states because it's awful.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money that it takes to get elected. And it's just – I was having a discussion with Fancy Sauce yesterday, and she's like, oh, we're talking about the local sheriff, the Orange County sheriff. Department is scandal plagued. So much.
Jr.
Yeah, similar. They were using they were incentivizing jailhouse snitches illegally to the point where they lost some slam dunk death penalty cases because of the snitches.
Isn't that the point. Staircase? Didn't they just fuck it up because they tried to go too deep on it?
I think so, yes. So, but the point is she's like, hey, this one guy's running for sheriff versus this other guy. And I go, oh, yeah, he's not going to win. And she's like, well, how do you know? I go, because I haven't seen one sign with his name on it. Like, he's not, the guy with the most signs is going to win. And if you got a lot of people out there putting fucking signs up with your name on it, the most fucking signs you see are going to win because people get in. And I'm not talking about for president of the United States or the big offices. I'm talking down ballot people. Right. You're voting for your local fucking water board. You get in the booth, or you get your absentee ballot like I get, and people color in the name of the person they saw the sign of. It's just, that's psychology. That's how it works. So that's what all those ads, they serve a purpose. They make you aware of the person. And even if you're not necessarily aware of their politics, more likely than not, the person with the most brand awareness is going to get elected. And that's just how it works.
Yep. That's, yeah. That's the way it goes.
Speaking of brand awareness, voicemailer Manuel was very prolific again this week. There's many minutes of his calls here, and I feel like I just got to like
pick one and double it up, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to just start playing the first one because I feel like they just all kind of add on. I haven't listened to him, but
his voicemails sometimes are just addendums to the first.
Well, right. I think the voicemail must cut off at 3 minutes because the first one's always 3 minutes.
Hmm.
Which is a long time to talk.
Right. Then aside again, from this podcast, I never, I mean, even on this podcast, I don't talk more than 3 minutes now. Straight.
No, it's very, imagine, like, remember when you have to get up and make a speech, you know, and it was like a 5 minute speech in speech class.
Fucking hard.
Like, that's really hard to do. So I don't know. Let's see what he has to say. He's taking a lot of heat on the show. He's very polarizing. He's a nice guy. Let's see what he's got to say this week, Manuel. Computer's a little slow.
That's what I plan on doing, Toots.
Yeah. Oh, so no, hold on. I started with three. Hold on. That was spoiler alert. That was his third one. let's go back to the first one is where I meant to be.
Oh, hey, hon. Thanks for taking the message, huh? I'll get your number later. Bride Bex. Easy N-word daily.
Just off the bat, seems like a little bit more subdued energy from Manuel. Are you noticing that?
Yeah, we might be getting the call after something happened.
He might have been. He might still be reeling from the Manuel and Gardena song. Oh, which I've lost somehow. Oh, it's not on. Big win for Manuel because I don't have it handy to me. Okay, let's see what he has to say.
Better known as the microphone pimping, big baller, shot caller, get your holler, get your dollar, microphone pimping podcast. Oh man, so you know I'm about to get long winded. I ain't got shit better to do. Anyhow. Long day at work, just home, unwinding with a little bit of doobage, you know, a little Mary Jane, a little bit of herbals.
I will say this. I respect, we're talking about FAP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disgusted that I've even said it again. I like that Manuel goes with the old school terminology, doobage.
Yeah. It reminds me of the great What's Happening episode when Rerun had to bootleg a Doobie Brothers concert.
Which Doobie you be?
Which Doobie you be? The best.
Yeah, that's the quintessential episode of What's Happening.
Because you get a lot of Rerun dance, then the tape recorder falls out at the concert. Yeah. It's a lot going on in that episode.
That's right. He's right there up the front.
Yeah.
Apparently that was a big thing back in the day, like illegally recording concerts.
Yeah, I back in the day, I bought like a bootleg concert. I don't remember it being in somebody's trench coat. It seemed less muffled.
Yeah.
But I definitely bought a bootleg concert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had tons. I have tons now. But it's more, they're more openly traded these days.
Yeah.
And first off, got to give a shout out to my man, Kyle and Scani. Wisco from Green Bay to Gardena. Okay. We're down all with right. The ballers all day. Felonies and misdemeanors, whatever's okay. On.
All right. West Coast Olive Branch.
Know what I mean. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Kyle had his back, remember?
Oh, right. I forgot.
So he's
because I knew Kyle came out in hot, but he was coming in hot against somebody. Yeah, I mean.
Against Brad in New York, who made.
I love when our peeps get together. Love Kyle.
Oh, I like it too. Yeah, they team up.
Yeah,
I like
good
that
for you
too.
Guys.
Yeah,
like you both.
I think a lot of them like know each other and hang out on Twitter and stuff. I see a lot of chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you, fam. Don't trip, man. I have come to grips with all these trolls. you know, doing their little Swifty parodies on me, and it's all good, man. You know what? It's good for the show.
Stages
I know
agree.
Bri and Edward get a kick out of it. What the hell?
What the hell?
I'll be the show's fodder.
Right.
I got big balls like that.
Yeah.
You know how it is. Kyle, I could, I know that you, you know, get down. You got
a kicking in, huh?
You know, sack.
Yeah. He's
like
going slower.
In the hood.
Yeah. I don't I don't mean to. I would never denigrate Manuel. I think he's a great guy. I feel like he could have shared this with Kyle personally.
Right.
Didn't need.
You know when, like, you go to a parent meeting, like a back to school night, and then one parent starts asking very specific to their kids questions. You're like, you could have taken this offline, you know?
Yeah, or like you're in a big lecture hall, and the professor's like, okay, well, if there's no questions, that'll be it. And you're like, fuck, we're getting out 15 minutes early, right. And all of a sudden, some chick. Couple sections over, throws that hand up and asks some question that about a concept that everyone else in the class understands.
Yeah.
That's what office hours are for.
Yep.
You go during office hours. You don't do it on our time. You do it on your time.
Agreed.
Also, office hours. If you're at college age, I cannot recommend enough that you go make a relationship with every single professor, do a little time in office hours.
I did an office hour, and I truly believe I bumped up a full letter grade just by showing up.
Yep. You go in there. You just say hi. You just go, hey, you were talking about – you just pick a random thing. Go, hey, you were talking about this the other day, and just ask one question.
Yep.
You do it one time a semester. Then you're a known commodity to that person. You're not a faceless – fucking asshole that he's putting a D down for. He's giving you a C or a B, guaranteed.
Yeah,
always do those office hours, especially if you're a chick.
You just dish it out when it comes upon you. We don't start, we finish.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
you're still just getting started.
Cats, the New York haters, the numbnuts, the Houston haters as well. I ain't got no time for him, man.
Okay, so we're two minutes in.
And he doesn't have time for something.
He's getting to his point here. 2 minutes, he's a lot of hellos, a lot of shout-outs, and now...
He's made it past the third turn. Down the stretch they come. Let's bring it on, bub.
Yes, we're into the rising action portion of the plot.
That's not why I called.
Oh.
Why I called
is,
you know, the pizza thing, the pizza monster thing.
Hold on.
Please don't tell me you eat pizza backwards, Manuel.
I recall this from last week. We had a Canadian listener.
Chopping wood with his buddy.
Went over to a wood chop with his buddies, at his buddy's house, chopped the wood, and afterwards they were having some doobage. And some beer and some pizza, and his buddy went for a reverse eat crust first pizza slicing.
No good.
So Manuel's reflecting on that, which I welcome.
He's
talking about shit that happened on the show. Okay, let's see.
Definitely team pizza only, you know, maybe some cheese on it, some crushed peppers, jalapenos, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
As far as dipping, I don't swing with the ranch. I'm not a big ranch guy.
Good for you.
I prefer, if I'm going to dip my pizza in anything, it's Italian sauce, classic Italian sauce.
Oh, like red sauce, he means.
Don't you mind, I grew up
not
with,
my thing, but I that's
that.
Okay.
And his family's from Sicily, so I think that his opinion's all right. But other than that, dipping pizza, not really the way to go.
Uh-oh.
Crust first.
Uh-oh.
Major problem now, Ed.
Uh-oh.
He timed out, and it's now I'm kind of interested. I'm kind of interested
week.
In where
next
he's...
Next week.
No, because he's going to call again.
No, next week. Again. Leave the suspense. That'd be amazing. We could have people weighing in. Does Manuel eat it the right way or the wrong way?
Right.
And there is a right and wrong.
Fair enough. The thing is, this stuff's going to pile up. So
it's okay,
Manuel.
This is great. You pray for this. Soap operas, that's what they run on.
It's true.
Suspense from Friday to Monday.
It's what we call a tease. So let's check in with us next week, episode 243.
I hope you don't go the wrong way here.
Does Manuel go reverse? Does he go back to front on the pizza?
Okay.
Okay.
I also want to point out real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Patreon bonus content.
Oh, how'd you do on that? I'll be honest. I didn't listen. You didn't take my Pac-12 After Dark.
Yeah. Well,
advice or my Hawaii.
Yeah.
Advice.
I was out to dinner with buddies. Not like a crazy night.
Yeah.
But still.
Number one fan of the show, Sarah DeMac, involved?
No, these are buddies in the South.
Southern buddies.
Great dudes. Pretty sure they've never listened.
Like everyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Uh-huh. But I remembered Friday night. Like, shit. I forgot to do my Patreon picks. And it was, like midnight after a night out of like dinner and drinks. And because I'm so appreciative of our paying listeners.
Yeah, you're a better man than me. Go on.
I came through, and first game of the day, it's the one I went 2-1. The first game of the day, which you posted like 10 minutes into the game, so you wouldn't have bet them anyway.
Yeah.
I lost that one, and then I won the two you would have. But
did that on purpose.
So anyway, I went 2-1, which brings me to like 7-4. On the odds, what, 60, low 60, 63%, something like that?
Yeah, you're killing it.
But the one I was wrong.
You're getting people paid.
Well, the one I was wrong, I'm kind of happy to be wrong. I thought Urban Meyer would have a big showing, and he had another pretty sad showing. So it's good. He's going to have the fake heart attack soon. He's definitely not sticking around.
Well, USC is going to be looking for a coach, and everybody's talking about how they can't fuck around this time. They're going to need a name. And Irving Myers is probably going to be looking for a place to go. So look for that possibility.
And I don't remember exactly. I know one of my picks was Bama. I'm telling you, they're not – like, just for yourself, this is a bonus for everyone.
You get paid every week.
They're not getting challenged. Right. Like, LSU is not that good. They just, they play hard and they're able to win a couple games. Georgia really sucked in the game in Baton Rouge, and that's what, like, everybody thought, all right, this is the team to challenge them. No. Georgia has way more talent. I don't think they'll challenge Bama at all in the SEC championship game, but, like, just ride Bama. Bama, what was that line? That line was 2 touchdowns, and Bama struggled what was the final? They won
29-0.
Yeah, they struggled to a 29-0. Like, they did not look great.
They shut them out.
It was just like death by a thousand cuts kind of game.
Yeah,
I mean, there was one big Tua run, but ultimately, like, they just ride them. They're definitely going to just kick ass the rest of the year,
unless they lose to Auburn, which they do. Even
they screw up Auburn's kind of butt this year.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you for nailing that. And I didn't. I was out at a show on Friday night, and then as I do every week, I'd forgotten about it. And then I got up Saturday morning. I'm doing a new thing, and it's really worked out great for me. Mm-hmm. When I wake up, by the way, fuck daylight savings, daylight saving. Now we're out of daylight. We had to set our clocks back. We fell back because daylight saving ended. And now it's dark at 4:30 and I want to kill myself.
I don't care that much the darkness or whatever. To me, it's why? What?
What's the point? It's for the farmers.
Yeah, but we can't cater to farmers anymore.
Not anymore. I don't think they need it anymore. That farming's automated.
We're not an agricultural nation anymore. I agree. We need crops and everything, but that's just not. That's not our country's bailiwick. We can't be taking our marching orders from farmers.
All grown here in all the crops are grown here in the San Joaquin Valley, Central California, and we have a in our proposition system, we have a proposition on the ballot to adopt year-round daylight savings, daylight saving, in which case we're going to be, it's going to be us, California, Hawaii, Arizona, and I believe just like a sliver of Indiana that does not save or that always saves daylight. And eventually, as we do with everything, California is going to lead the, be in the vanguard, and everybody's going to fall in line. We're going to adopt this daylight saving thing tonight. By the time you listen to this, it'll have already passed. And then everyone's going to have to fall in line with the daylight saving. Because as goes California, so goes the world.
Yes. I agree with that.
What were we talking about before that? I've lost it because I'm
on... You got the Manuel teaser.
I'm on pharmaceuticals. I'm gonna read a voicemail.
Email?
Ballers. Email? Oh, we were talking about...
No, you said you're going to read a voicemail, so I just wanted to...
No, I know. No, I know. But then I remembered that we were talking about... We're talking about the picks.
Oh, yeah.
So I was out, and then I... And so I didn't get to it that night. And I'm like, oh, he forgot, so I'm good. And then the next morning, I saw you had emailed him to me. But I'm doing a new thing where I sleep late as fuck because I wake up in the morning when the light comes in the room, and I'm like... And that's usually like around 6:30 or 7. And I'm like, oh. And usually I just get up and go make coffee. But now I put my eye mask on at 7 o'clock, and I got one of these real like secure eye masks, and I put that fucking thing on and I go right back to sleep. And sometimes I'll sleep till almost 10 a.m.
Now I haven't tried it much, but the only times I've tried it on a plane, I don't dig the feeling of an eye mask. I don't know.
You got to get used to it. You got to get used to it. And what happens is I put it on when I go to bed because the person in my bed with me is reading a book, usually a Kindle. Mm. And so there's light in the room. So I put on the eye mask, but then at some point during the night, it like rises up onto my forehead, like Hulk Hogan's do-rag. And then, so then I fling it off onto the floor, but then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I should just get up. And then I go, no, wait, I got that eye mask, and I put it on, and I got this real like secure one. It's not one of these shitty ones that they give you on the plane. It really blacks everything out. I put that fucker on and boom, I fall back asleep and I think it's night. My circadian rhythms are just like, no, it's dark. You got to stay asleep. So that's why I wake up too late. That's why I keep telling you Pac-12 after dark. Hawaii.
Well,
pick those games. I'll always be on time.
I literally got back to my room and just clicked on the lines and was just kind of perusing the page. I hadn't really thought it through. So
you're crushing and looking for another guest prognosticator for our, amongst our Patreon listeners. If you like some picks, email them to me, or you can leave me a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. And I'll throw your picks in there in the Patreon picks this week, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Email ballers. I'm going to try and not be gross, but I need some advice. Mm-hmm. I work in a department that is 95% female. Mm. And the staff bathrooms are not divided between male and female. Oof.
That sucks. That really sucks because
it's a real tough one.
Because you just, there are just some moments that you don't want to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you have to have.
Right. Well, I assume these are like single stall. So it's not like some broads in there blowing it out while you're
drying what,
your hands.
No matter what you do, courtesy flush wise.
Yeah.
Or you follow somebody that wasn't courtesy flushing.
Yeah.
Guess who they're blaming? Disgusting. They're not blaming the female. No.
And it's not, you need to monitor it. You need to make sure things have aired out. If someone's been in there, mm-hmm. if it's a single stall, mm-hmm. someone's been in there before you. But you know what chicks will do? They'll go in there. And if it's like, if it is a multiple stall thing, they'll just hang out in there and they won't let it go until it's been completely cleared out, which is, it's not the ideal situation. The state of the bathrooms are absolutely 100% disgusting, even though they are cleaned twice during the workday. I'm not going to go into details because nobody is team hashtag poop talk, but there are days I simply can't use them and make my way to the visitors' bathrooms. Well, you've just solved your own problem right there. I'm not going to be that guy that sends an email to remind people to not be so disgusting, but do I send an email to advise people to see a gastroenterologist? Eat more fiber? Something has to give here. Keep it baller, from our good friend Ben906. I'll be honest, I've heard from many women that the women's public restrooms in lots of places are just as, if not more, disgusting than the guys.
I can tell you my limited experience is when I first started working at a bar in college, low man on the totem pole for the first month or so, you get bathroom duty at the end of the night. And the women's room was always the lowest priority. That was the worst. Now, a big part of that was the, I think there was way more vomit in the women's room.
Yeah.
But just overall, there was much less pride.
Yeah. And they'll hover. See, they don't like to put their ass on the seat. So they'll hover. And when you're hovering, I mean, you just can't control what's coming out of you. It goes places. Mm-hmm. My advice to Ben would be, keep using that visitor restroom. Always, 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 when you work in an office, you're looking for a safe haven. And oftentimes there isn't a safe haven. So you're looking for the least troublesome place to go.
Whatever's the least worst.
Yeah. I would do that.
I used to go to a different floor because the people I worked with were mostly disgusting.
Yes.
And I would find like the accounting floor or whoever, yes, you know, somebody like that, the meek people. That's where you go.
Sometimes you go to like marketing where it's mostly chicks and but there's a men's and ladies room on that floor.
Yeah.
And then you hit the men's and oh yeah, it's nobody in there. Also, try to reset your body clock.
Right.
Do it at a different time. Do it before you leave for work. Do it when you get home. Like,
but some of the pitfalls still exist.
Do the Wim Hof method.
Because even if you're just going to piss, if somebody has fouled it right before you, it's problematic.
I will. There's no shame in my game. I'll throw the shirt right. I'll undo the top button and I'll throw that shirt right over my nose and mouth before I go in there. And I don't care who sees me, but I don't want to be stung with any odors. So I'll just go in there. I'll keep the shirt completely covering the nose and mouth the entire time, or I'll just go with the breath hold. Nice, long, deep
breath before I walk in, and I go in there.
Yeah, it's piss, a bummer.
Wash my hands real quick. Get the fuck out.
And not that you should be chewing gum, but never, ever chew gum before going into a restroom, because the tastes will start mixing.
Yeah, well, and if you have gum in your mouth, it'll absorb the particulates in the air.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I've made that mistake 20 years ago, and it's maybe the grossest moment of my life.
There's little fecal particulates in the air. When you're inhaling that,
it's like
you're smelling
it's
that.
Like when
you're inhaling the particulates.
Yeah, it's like when you saw that Geraldo tweeted picture of his shirtless body.
Yeah, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
You cannot unsee that. I get it. All right. Speaking of routes.
Yeah. I gotta say, this
is a big hockey game that I saw.
This lineup, we'll try to move quick. This is an all-time lineup of headlines. Let's start with sports. A 41-0 hockey rout between 8-year-olds raises eyebrows.
I mean,
we've talked so much about parents being assholes.
Seems a little high. I mean, I, I figure once you get it up to like 7-0,
right,
you could be like, hey guys, let's work on our passing.
And even if you
just don't try to score,
even if one of the kids is on the other team is a dick, or two of them,
yeah,
not all of them. So you're really just, there's no need to be humiliating people like that. And 8-year-olds?
No.
I mean, I've got an 8-year-old, but we both had 8-year-olds. Like, there's no need for that bullshit to an 8-year-old. You want to do it to somebody like Ted Cruz? Fine. But an 8-year-old, they don't know better.
Was this in Minnesota? It was
Canada.
In the Great White North.
Yeah, yeah. it was some Canadian area, province. But like, come on.
Yeah, come on, guys. Your bunny hugs.
We'll keep it in the youth sports prep school coach. I believe this is a basketball prep school. Doesn't regret saying, I'm going to fuck you in your ass to a player he also called retarded.
Wow. That's one of the prep school implies it costs money to go there.
Well,
so you're like,
and I think he was doing it with like maybe foreign imported guys. This is like a factory. But I mean,
right, like a Kevin Garnett Admiral Farragut Academy or whatever.
Yeah, but guess what, buddy? You can try to do right by these people.
Yeah.
Or you can just be a shithead in his stepping stone and where he wants to go. But like, you're not the end destination for some guy to just be berating some guy because what? He didn't set a pick properly. I mean, just if the guy's not being a good listener, dock his playing time. But
yeah, or yell at him, but be more creative about it.
I'm gonna fuck you in your ass. Hey, buddy, that's your own kind of leanings.
Yeah, you got your own deal there.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten mad at people, gotten pretty steamed. Never said that. Never once.
No, me either.
We'll stay on the ass region. Derek Lewis says he eats his wife's ass before every MMA fight.
Does this sound like the kind of guy that would do that?
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand.
I never get sick of that. I understand. Mm-hmm. I believe Derek Lewis lost to the champ. Daniel Cormier this weekend. Yeah. So I don't, maybe this is like Wade Boggs' chicken.
His wife's ass is like,
yeah, maybe like Wade Boggs. He ate
like
chicken.
If this was an SAT question, Wade Boggs is to chicken as Derek Lewis is to his wife's caboose.
Right. Maybe it's just good luck. Like some people just, they eat ass. Like before they play.
Oh, this is, you're
18
saying this,
holes
this
in
is
the
like Dumbo's
Denver area.
Feather. Like it might not mean anything. Yeah. It's just what he feels he needs. That's fine.
Got it. Yeah.
Good for you.
Needs to eat. Well, might calm him down.
And congrats to your wife.
Yeah. And hey, she doesn't mind, you know,
sure.
He's taking care of business back there. Good for them.
He's got a clean salad back there. Back to hockey. Ottawa Senators players caught on video talking shit about their own team and coach during an Uber ride.
Now, you know,
Uber drivers, I've already talked about how I don't like Nazi leanings. But I mean, you're recording that? You can't just have a conversation inside of, I don't know. Are you expecting the Uber rider to be recording you?
I mean, I get why they have the camera situation in there a couple years ago.
Yes,
here locally.
If there's assaults or any of that, like body cam, you just need it on. However,
you don't fuck somebody over. This is like this is like revenge porn.
Because
no different.
Because everybody bitches about their workplace.
Yeah.
These guys are
no different.
So,
yeah, agreed.
Kind of
it's
bullshit.
Fucked.
Yeah. This weekend was the Breeders' Cup, which I went to once, and it was a lot of fun.
Is it the Breeders' Cup? Oh, Breeders' Cup's not one of the three.
No. There's
crowns.
The three, and then I think sort of the end of the season Breeders' Cup is something else. Right. I went when it was at Santa Ana, which is a beautiful racetrack.
Santa Anita.
Santa Anita, right.
Yeah. Well, see, but they have it there two. Like, isn't there? There's a Breeders' Cup and there's a Breeders' Cup Classic.
Oh, I don't. I
they need more
was,
names for these things.
I didn't know there was two of them. But anyway,
yeah. Santa Anita is a gorgeous track. You should try to make it down to Del Mar. Also, very beautiful.
Yeah. Well, a Kentucky man was arrested this weekend for drunkenly trying to ride a horse onto the track during the Breeders' Cup.
Wow. It's kind of heroic, but also he could have got killed.
Yeah, I was at the Preakness, I want to say around 2000, and
that's the one in Maryland,
yeah,
right?
And it was when I was out of college, but I knew some guys in college. And I think it was midway through the day, like fifth race. Guy ran onto the track and tried to pull a Mongo and punch one of the horses.
Oh, no. Wow.
I think he was injured.
Wow. Yeah, people get blitzed. People get so hammered at horse racing.
Let's finish up with a couple of stories about the Raiders. Now, first of all, they've just been getting embarrassed left and right and trading off their good players. John Gruden insists players are dying to be a part of this team.
I find that hard to believe.
In this day and age, we have pretty good connections with players. I don't think anyone believes that.
No, I mean, first and foremost, the most important thing to any player in the NFL is to get paid. Like right. That's the number one thing they want to do is get the most possible money.
Okay. And then the fact that the big ticket items, Khalil Mack was deserving of getting paid. And what happened?
Yeah, gave him away. And they talk about shit like that. They go, oh, hold up. Because they, you know, and it's like different people's turn. Like, okay, I get it. Like, it's this guy got drafted the year before me. He's coming up. So it's his turn to get paid. But I see they took care of him. So when I come up next year, it's going to be my turn to get paid, and that they know. And all of a sudden, if they see that their buddy who's kicked ass, when his turn comes up, they send him out of town. They start going, oh, what the fuck? Like, they're not going to take care of me either. Right. Like, I want the fuck out of here. I don't feel like anybody's in a real hurry to go to Oakland. Also, they don't even know where they're going to play next year. They're talking about playing in San Diego.
Yeah. You know, when you're in a hotel and you just put on ESPN. Like, I don't watch ESPN randomly.
Always.
So I just put it on. And so there's just all these talking heads. And one guy made a good point. Or maybe this was one of the other channels, like the Dan Patrick Show or something.
Right.
But a guy said, all the Oakland residents are thinking, why the fuck should I bother buying tickets? And they said, we're bringing in Gruden and he's going to play for a championship. Yeah. So at least they just dangled something, and he's totally just playing for Vegas. Just they're trying to be as shitty as possible so they can have the right assets for Vegas, which I don't believe is a great strategy, but.
Right. But also.
they're not going to be competitive while they're in Oakland.
He wants to put his stamp on it. He doesn't want to come in there and win. That's the kind of guy this guy is.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He doesn't want to come in there and win with guys that aren't his guys. He wants to be able to remake the roster, and so everyone gives him the credit when they win. But I don't foresee any winning happening soon.
No. Charles Woodson's not walking through that door.
No, he isn't.
Rich Gannon.
Right.
But then let's go to a non-John Gruden era. Remember when they had the first pick and they drafted Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah, he was out of LSU. He was not real mobile.
No, he had an absolute cannon.
Cannon.
But
he could really throw it down the field.
You know, he just threw 50-50 balls. It wasn't so good.
Al Davis liked to go vertical.
Yeah,
that
right.
was his thing. Let's go vertical. That's why, like, Jeff George. Like,
yeah,
he would always try to
do
bring
that
in
with
guys
receivers,
that could throw
just
it a mile.
Getting speed guys. Like, there was a good
John Jett.
Well, there was a good Maryland receiver, Darius Hayward Bay, who people are thinking would make a nice second rounder, third rounder. He made him like an eighth pick.
Yeah, didn't have the greatest hands,
no,
Darius.
He was just a burner.
Fast, yep. No one saw that coming. No, everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah,
it was like the time
we didn't have him on our board. Oh, he's eighth now. And of course,
it was like that time Isaiah Thomas was running the Knicks.
Right.
And in the first round, he drafted. Don't tell me the guy's name.
Well, there have been a few.
It was like Rolando Blackman, but it was different.
Yes. Rolando Blackman.
He was.
Now, if you watched him, I remember watching him at South Carolina. He was a lunch pail guy, which you tend to like those guys.
A worker.
You tend to like those guys on the college team.
Yeah.
When you've got a first round pick, we're not lunch pailing it. Right. We need a guy to pour in the points.
And and you got a guy that's not projected to be drafted at all.
Right.
You're taking him in the first round.
Like lottery.
I mean, yeah. Not a wise move.
So anyway, Jamarcus Russell.
Oh yeah.
He kind of got a feeling something just wasn't clicking. He wasn't reading defenses as well.
Yeah.
So the Raiders are like, geez, it's as if he's not studying game film. And then it comes out that one of their ex-players said, yeah, they started sending him blank tapes to see if he was watching the game film, and he never mentioned anything.
I like that, although I'm concerned that they were still using VCRs in the Jamarcus Russell era.
Yeah, well...
Like, weren't these digital files?
Yeah,
like
maybe they. I mean, we've just spent some time talking about how Al Davis was behind the times.
That's true, and he was cheap.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't. Because I imagine these days they would just hand him a loaded iPad and go here.
Right.
Like here's next week's. Everything's on here for next week, and you just look at it. But maybe it was Betamax or those VHS tapes.
Right.
For Jamarcus. But I do like that move. Like, hey, did you watch all that? And he's like, oh, yeah, coach.
That's shit I do with my son sometimes when I can tell he's full of shit.
Yeah.
You know, just bait him into a lie.
That's easy. They're so dumb. Kids are so dumb.
It's fun to get him just, oh, no, I actually know for a fact you're full of shit. All right, non-sports. Here's where things get really interesting. Tennessee man smiles, says, let's rock before execution in electric chair.
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably an awful dude. I'm assuming he wasn't a false accusal, but
yes.
Just because how can you sleep at night if we know they executed somebody who didn't deserve it? However, it's a pretty boss way to go out.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty surprised that the electric chair still exists, but then again, it is Tennessee.
Right.
I do believe that Utah, if they don't still, they did up until recently offer firing squad as a method of execution. And actually,
I would take it.
Yeah, it's like the most humane way to do it. Like this electric chair is fucking brutal. The
lethal injection?
Fuck that up all the time. People survive those lethal injections.
Like, it's like you're suffocating for 3 minutes.
Yes, and the gas chamber. I mean, Jesus Christ. Whereas just a quick bullet to the head.
Right, you don't know where it's coming from. You just get popped.
Same way you take down a steer on the farm.
Yeah, I would definitely take that.
I would take that, or even the noose, the hangman's noose.
That'd be kind of a.
It's a quick one,
too. But it would be quick, yeah. Because you'd snap your neck before strangling.
Yeah.
Now this is a convoluted one. I read the article, so a New Hampshire lawmaker got involved in the porn business, and a Simi Valley porn maker is suing that guy because he said he hit him after a movie scene didn't go so well.
Okay, now I haven't looked at this. But it's just based on what I've heard from you so far.
Well, the Simi Valley part makes perfect sense,
right? But I'm getting a gay porn.
Yeah, well,
vibe.
I mean, the guy had a starring role in the film called Cream Pie Apocalypse.
Oh, that's super gross.
It sounds pretty.
That's
gay.
Super gross. Now I got to click on it here to see if I recognize anybody. I definitely
$5,000 to make tourism videos. That's the excuse
according to
him. So he went to Simi Valley, like a porn guy. He's like, Oh yeah, could we make some tourism videos? Yeah, I'm sure that's
yeah. Yeah.
Especially like I would like to view I would like to show off a really nice bakery. Let's call it Cream Pie Apocalypse. Wait. Emails provided by the town, correspondence between Saporetto's Comcast email address and, in quotes, Roy Randall, which was the porn name, in which the two purportedly discussed name ideas for the film, including Last Sperm on Earth and Armageddon Sperm Donor.
Oh,
Armageddon Sperm Donor sounds exciting.
No.
For porn, if you're into gay porn.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Armageddon just seems like it's semen everywhere.
Everything sounds a little sperm heavy to me.
Right,
I'll be
honest.
That's
gay porn, right? Those guys don't fuck around.
That's true. I almost never make it, or I never use the section of the movie that's the ending part.
No, because that would be gay.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I don't know when exactly.
No,
I don't even
like seeing men.
I know. You don't like seeing balls or anything.
They love that apple bag cam.
Yeah, I don't like the finishing on the face. That's not for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me in any way. I've never liked it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it's around, but I wish they would stop.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to a more pleasant story. Man-eating tiger crushed by tractor. Second killer cat lured to death with Calvin Klein cologne in India.
I'll tell you what. I'm having a hard time buying this because
I have heard also with like zoos and like when an animal escapes, cologne does play a role sometimes.
Oh, because they have a strong sense of smell.
Yeah.
I was putting on quite a bit of cologne back in the middle 1990s, and I can tell you that it didn't lure any cat to me. I was really attempting to
lure. You were looking for that feline action.
Yeah, I was attempting to lure much cat back then, and cologne wasn't helping. I could tell you that much.
Okay. Well. You know, there are researchers in Antarctica, right? They're doing their thing.
They're always there, yeah.
It's a lonely existence, you have to
think. I think, yeah, I saw it on 60 Minutes, and it just looked, they got to be careful of the polar bears. Wait, is this the, no, that's the Arctic. Antarctica is even more boring.
Yeah,
There's nothing down there.
What you have is your own entertainment. Well, an Antarctic researcher allegedly stabbed a colleague who spoiled book endings. I think justified.
Oh yeah, that's fucked. All you have is books.
I mean, geez, if you can like spread it out over a few days, we'll see how this goes.
And this is like any kind of movie. I'm reminded any kind of movie where people are isolated. I'm thinking of that movie. There was a movie. In the late 80s, early 90s, it was Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill, and they were on a boat with some other dude, and the other dude turned out to go crazy and was trying to kill him.
Yes,
yes. Anytime people are isolated, one person is going to go nuts. And, oh, how about The Abyss? They're way down at the bottom of the ocean. Before you know it, Michael Biehn is losing his shit trying to fucking kill everybody.
Dead calm.
Like, you got... Yeah, that's it. Dead calm.
Right.
So, like, you're out there. You're out there in the Antarctic. That's the one at the bottom where the penguins are.
Yeah.
You got to be careful who you're with, and you don't want to rock any boats because people are on edge, and all you got are your fucking John Le Carré novels.
Yeah, and you try to disappear into that and pretend you're not in Antarctica. You're around civilization.
Yes, exactly.
Fuck him. What they should have done is strip him to his underwear and say, all right, you're walking home.
Yeah.
All right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Good luck.
Yeah. Send him out there with the see if he could get a ride from an orca or something.
Now, if you're a baggage handler for American Airlines, I imagine that could be a tedious job for different reasons. But one baggage handler was decided to take a few nips, I guess, and he got a little drunk. And he fell asleep in the cargo bay.
Greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, fell asleep in the cargo bay, woke up in Chicago.
So good. And also, people are like, what happened? And he's like, I was fucked up. I was drunk. Which,
yeah, that's cool that he was just upfront about it.
Well, but maybe it was something worse. Oh. Like maybe he was, you know, slamming heroin or something. Because if you're real quick to volunteer the I was drunk, because you could just say, oh, I stayed up late studying the Torah the night before and I don't know what happened. It looks so bad
for you at your job that I got to think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, no, I think he is telling the truth. This happened to a buddy of mine one time. One time my buddy, he was working for like this was in the time of the Beanie Babies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's rummaging through bags?
He was like working in the Beanie Baby industry, like delivering Beanie Babies or something. And he was real hungover at work. And he sat down in the break room and put his head down, woke up. And it was like 4 or 5 hours later.
Wow.
People were just like walking around. I'm like, what's going on? I'm just not going to name the guy. Not that he listens. But he just like fell asleep right there at work. And no one really like moved him or anything. They just kind of looked at him. And I don't think he lasted much longer at the Beanie Baby factory after that.
Mm. Well.
It's a bad career move.
Yeah, it's not a good career move. But here's somebody trying an interesting approach at his career. There was a Florida mayor in the Daytona area. He has been accused of promising speed bumps in exchange for sex. So this woman...
Are people asking for more speed bumps?
Well, I mean...
Certain places?
Yeah, certain places. He's like, well, this is going to be a pay-to-play operation. You give me you give me some sex and I'll give you the speed bump.
And is it just me or have speed bumps gotten much more aggressive now? Now they have those like rubber, like bolt-on speed bumps.
Yeah,
like
that's most of
parking structure.
Yeah.
And they're so aggressive. Like you cannot possibly go slow enough to make it an easy transition getting over that speed bump. Like, we get it. They're painted. We're slowing down for them, all right? They don't have to be, like, come to an actual point. Let's calm down on the speed bumping.
Now, I don't drive as much. Nearly as much. But I do wonder, people slow down to just a halt to get to a speed bump. For me...
You just go right over it?
I don't go full speed, but I don't.
It's very uncomfortable.
I don't go 1 mile an hour over it.
Oh, I do.
Really? I just feel like slow down to like a 6.
No, it's bad for the suspension and it's uncomfortable.
But I've never fucked up my car to the point. I don't know.
You're one of those guys, huh? Fucking real risk taker.
No, but I don't go 30. I just go like, I don't know.
5.
5, 6.
Yeah. I guess that's about right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is these new ones, like 5 miles an hour, that's a real crunch.
Yeah.
You almost can't. But I get it.
When I see somebody stopping traffic so his Corolla can go over at the slightest bit, like, buddy, the car's not even that nice. Just hit it.
Right. Hit it like it's the Baja 500.
Well, there was a woman who had sex with 20 ghosts, and now she's engaged to the spirit.
Not shocked by that. Wait, Ed, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, something you like clipped out.
I heard like a static.
Yeah. So a buddy, I don't know if I can reveal this. I don't know if I have to like.
Your buddy's fucking ghost.
I'll have to euphemize it. A buddy of mine is in a secret society of people that they keep their themselves anonymous in this group. And it's and in this group of anonymous people, they all are trying to live a better life.
Okay.
And they work with each other to help get themselves through their issues,
which is great.
And he, right. And he was telling me, you know, that show, there's a show where like people are like, I'm married to the Eiffel Tower.
Yes. Yes.
Well, in his secret society is somebody like that, somebody that may or may not have been on that show.
But he's not in an anonymous ghost fucker group.
No, he's in just the regular. Okay. It's just the regular group for people that are staying anonymous and trying to just help sort things out. And this person also is, but also this person is the Marian and is a known marrier of inanimate objects.
Now, do you think this woman is a ghost whore or unlucky in love? Like, do you think these ghosts just get what they get and then leave her? Or do you think she's just running through ghosts?
No, yeah. She loves to fuck ghosts.
But 20 and ghosts, like she's starting to throw it around.
She's got, like, it's, people have tastes. Like, people like a certain type. Like, some guys, they only date Asian chicks. Right? Like, only into Asian chicks. That's their whole thing. Right. I only want to date Asian chicks. You can have all the white women. You can have all the black women, Mexican.
Do you think she's exclusively? I want Asian chicks. She's exclusively ghost. Because she's 30. So I'm not saying 20 partners is a big deal, but like,
no.
She's not keeping any long term relationships. She's just fucking ghosts.
She only fucks ghosts, which is her thing. And yeah, she fucked about 20 ghosts, which is a perfectly normal number of sex partners to have. No judgment there. Until she found the right one. Like, you got to kiss a lot of frogs.
Yeah, because at the bottom of this story,
fuck the right ghost.
One of these great ones. There's a woman married to a train station.
Right. I'm not saying that might not be the one, but it's one like that.
That's pretty cool. Let's take it over to Scotland for our final story.
Oh, that's where they have the good accent, the Scotland.
Yeah, it's kind of
Scottish accent.
Sean Connery.
It's the most fun accent.
It is fun. But I'll tell you, there's a 22-year-old who's not having a lot of fun right now.
Uh-oh.
He's in a coma, actually.
Alcohol induced?
Wow.
Oh, is it like a train spotting thing where he was like slamming H?
Smack? Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. He had a
Begbie?
Yeah, Begbie, that's right. Sick boy.
Sick boy.
Spud.
Spud was the best.
Well, he has an English bulldog named Biggie Smalls.
And is he, whenever he walks in the house, is he like, how you living, Biggie Smalls? Because that's what I would do if I had an English bulldog.
Of course.
That. Yeah.
So neighbors heard Biggie Smalls barking like 4 a.m.
Ooh.
And they were a little concerned because it just didn't stop for a few hours.
Yeah.
So they went to check on him. And the 22-year-old apparently had tried the peanut butter trick with peanut butter on his genitals. Biggie Smalls was very excited by it and just bit the cock and balls off.
Ooh. Off?
Well, it says ripped them off. So he went into a, ripped off man's penis and testicles.
And they're not known to be, English bulldogs aren't necessarily known to be a very aggressive breed.
No, but I mean, maybe he had a hankering for peanut butter.
He would just really like, you know, you ever do that where you're like, getting like you're so hungry and you're like eating some popcorn or something.
Yeah.
And you're like accidentally bite your finger. You're just going, arr. Maybe it was like that, but this guy's dick and balls.
Yeah. I just would never want to put myself in a scenario where my balls could be the thing accidentally bitten.
Yeah. I'm like pretty careful with balls in general.
Yeah.
Like, I try to keep them free from getting bitten off if I can.
I mean, I'm sure the ghosts would never do that. Maybe he should move from ghosts and from bulldogs to ghosts if he comes out of the coma. Although, if he does come out of the coma,
yeah,
what's he working with?
Yeah, it's, might be. I'd rather be dead.
Yeah, I think maybe, like, he wants to check out.
Would you want to live dickless? Unless they come out with that thing where you can get a surgery, where you can pick. Ed, joining us now, it is that time. Our very own pop culture correspondent is in the house. You heard her in the background. She joins us now to tell us everything that's happening in the world of pop culture. Of course, I'm talking about Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
Hey, Kate.
I mean, don't sound so excited.
Very excited. Unfortunately, I'm dealing with a neck issue, and I'm in quite a bit of pain, but gutting it out for the show.
Have you taken anything?
Yeah, I took a narcotic.
You did?
Yes, because I'm in a lot of pain.
I told you you should have gone and taken this care of this.
Well, I thought it would get better. It was starting to get better, and then it got better, and now it's worse again. Maybe I've slept on it wrong or something.
Okay, I cannot be married to an invalid, so you need to make this a priority.
Yeah, it'll probably be better tomorrow.
That's what you said.
I've been icing it.
Well, just be careful, because apparently there are ghosts on the prowl, so you don't want to get replaced, Brian.
Also, maybe I should put some peanut butter on it and see.
What?
See if that helps with anything. A quick email before we get into the pop culture segment. Hey, Ed and Bri, B-R-I-G-H.
Oh.
Did either of you ever own a waterbed? I hear they are good for amorous activities. Please advise. Thanks, Johnny and Reno. Ed Daly, have you ever owned a waterbed?
You know, I can't remember where. It was certainly not somebody like close in my life, but I remember being 8 and seeing somebody having a waterbed and be like, God damn, when I get older, I'm definitely having a waterbed.
For sure getting a waterbed.
100%.
Well, maybe I asked my mom first and she's like, you're not getting a waterbed. And thinking, someday this fucker's mine.
I remember growing up in the divorced generation and everybody's single dad that I knew. They'd be
so
like,
much fucking to be
hey,
done.
What are you doing this weekend? Going over to my dad's apartment. He's got a sick waterbed. Mm-mm. And I'm like, oh yeah. All single dads in the 1980s had a waterbed straight up made for slaying. Kate McManus, did waterbeds exist in the Southern Hemisphere?
I think
in your
so, but,
childhood, you don't recall one.
I don't. Yeah.
And you've certainly never owned a waterbed.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I think the first time I saw one might have been in this country.
Yeah, in the States. Well, because what would happen is then eventually that the bachelor dad would get remarried and he would will down his cum-drenched waterbed to his oldest son.
It's so gross.
And then the son would lose his virginity on the waterbed. But I personally, I never had a waterbed, but I do recall a couple of buddies.
I have to think it would be bad
for
the
back. That's basically like
it's not good for the back.
Helping their sons lose their V card.
Yeah. Well,
by gifting them
vicariously. Yeah. They, and
sleigh bed.
It was such a thing. Waterbeds were such a thing that you would have to sign if you rent an apartment or something. You would have to sign.
Well, because they leaked all the time.
Yeah, you'd have to sign a waterbed. Like, I will not have
a
waterbed.
Yeah, like if dad was fucking too hard, all of a sudden you've soaked your neighbor's apartment.
You really got to get the rolling of the, you got to get the rolling motion going to get a good rhythm in a waterbed. You know, you think you're like, oh, this is going to be good because the bed's made of water.
I don't
but
think it just sounds awful.
But it's got, unless you know how to use the.
I don't think you'd be able to get any proper like purchase.
Oh, no, you can. You just got to.
I mean,
you just got to get.
Have you ever
you gotta get
had sex in a water
you
bed?
You got to match your.
I don't think you
I don't
have.
Talk about stuff like this. You got to match your own rhythm to the rhythm of the rolling.
You got to have some rhythm. And a lot of people just have no rhythm, especially white guys.
Wow. Interesting.
Speaking of rhythm, I feel like when I lost my virginity, the movie Boomerang was recently out.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I think he was there was some talk about the rhythm and everything. And I remember
the rhythm method.
The rhythm is going to get you.
While I was having sex for the first time, thinking I should try that technique, and then it was over. It was over so quick. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Yeah. That's the unfortunate part of it. Here's another one. Manuel, Kyle, Billy, in quotes, and the show. Gentlemen in fancy, I have to weigh in on the latest developments on your prestigious podcast. Mm. Rambling Manuel, who apparently supplies the prison system throughout the U.S., sounds coherent on double speed. It's the only time he does. And who calls another adult Bri-Bri? I don't know, but I'd be careful, Brian. Was he your Uber driver with the crush on you? Are you sure he wasn't? Yeah, that guy was Asian. Kyle and Scotty clearly wants a song about him from Brad. Just call him Bitter Kyle from Scotty. Do it, Brad. Wow, this guy's really in here messing. Yeah,
he's directing people.
Poking the tiger with a stick. Billy from Texas may actually be Billy Gibbons. He clearly has disguised his voice and is about to leave ZZ Top and launch his solo career. Lastly, I do love the new topical format when you comment on headlines, but it comes at a huge cost. Poor Fancy's time on your podcast has been reduced by an average of 3 minutes and 37 seconds since the format switch. We all know less Fancy means the overall podcast suffers greatly.
Yes.
Please fix this immediately. Yours truly, Canard in Kansas. As if it wouldn't have been him.
We never put an end to the show. We are happy with whatever Kate will give us. We don't cut her short.
That's true.
That's not on
That's
us.
True. No, definitely.
I'm guessing
not.
She just gets tired of us.
That's true. Yeah, she gives whatever she's ready to give. Speaking of that, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Okay, so here's a story from the music hemisphere.
Yeah.
The music world.
World of music.
The world of music.
Yeah.
A band that I'm not particularly interested in, but this is...
U2?
Kind of tight.
Oh.
Now, Fish.
Corn with an R backwards? H. Oh, yeah.
No, Fish. I don't... Uh-huh. I've said this before. I don't think anyone's interested in them. They just feel nostalgic for drugs. I don't think people really are interested in the music.
I don't think I've ever heard a Fish song.
I've been to a Fish concert.
Cool if I never did.
Well, if you heard the song, it would still be going. It's one of those bands.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the Grateful Dead, but not the Grateful Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently they have a long-running Halloween tradition of covering a classic album in its entirety.
I've heard this. They'll play like...
Oh, which sounds
like
amazing.
The White Album?
So fit,
or
not.
What
yeah,
classic
that's one. That's one they've done. They've done the White Album. They do like Bob Marley, right. Exodus. Like they'll come out and play a fucking whole album.
Sounds awful. So during their concert at Vegas's MGM Grand Arena, they introduce audiences to... This is just Halloween past... They introduced the audience to a band called I Rock, R-O-K-K, the sole album by an obscure Scandinavian prog outfit called Kasvot Vox.
I can't believe I didn't buy a ticket.
An outfit so obscure, in fact, they don't actually exist.
What?
Right. So
this sounds more like April Fools.
This is a Fish stunt. Fish preceded the stunt by leaving breadcrumb trails throughout the internet, like several articles that showed up about the non-existent 1981 cult classic on different kind of like music sites, including the site of beloved independent radio station WFMU.
Oh,
to take
New
it
Jersey.
A step further, they
New
even
Jersey
snuck
zone.
A few of the band's song titles into old archived radio playlists. So they really took this all the way.
So- Who's got the time?
Can you imagine,
I don't know, and I'm not sure what the point
was. Can you imagine how sad things are if you're chasing after Fish breadcrumbs?
I mean, yeah, like you're finding the sites. You're like, oh,
but I feel like that's what Phish fans are all about.
The original song, yeah. So they had to sit through. The fans had to sit because Phish is one of those bands like the Dead where they play a couple of sets.
Right. So I guess it was a fake band that played right.
Like Phish. Phish is a
album.
Fake band. They're not real.
But Phish. But so Phish played an entire Prague rock set from a fictitious band. So they covered
their
own
made
up. I would be kind of bummed if I bought a ticket to that thinking that they were going to play the White Album.
And everyone was probably on their phones Googling iRock and they found it. Right. They got a few hits and they're like, oh, this is some cool, obscure Scandinavian prog band.
You're like, oh, they might play Dark Side of the Moon.
Cool.
And then they play this.
So this is like not Phish good. Trying to do their not best stuff.
Phish sounds pretty
cool. I thought Phish broke up.
Oh.
Apparently
don't
not.
Look to me for that
apparently
kind
not.
Of info.
Yes.
Another music story.
Yeah.
John Mayer may have previously had a rep for being a ladies' man.
Speaking of the Grateful Dead, guitar player for the Dead and Company, John Mayer, and guy who is known to...
world-class concerts.
Here are some celebs he's...
Let's hear the list.
He's dated.
Katy Perry. Yep.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yep.
Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Minka Kelly.
Wow.
Ooh, she's so hot.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, my God. Love. Back before she went nuts.
So he appeared on a
it would be cool if there was like a B. Arthur in there just so like a palate cleanser.
I would do that. Yeah,
like hit list there.
Like Mindy Cohn.
So he admitted he's hearing more no's. Than yeses these days,
what?
If you can believe that.
He said, I get
40s. Rejected a lot since I became PR poison for people.
Yeah.
He said...
At least he has a
people
sense of humor about himself.
People aren't really into the idea of, hey, I snagged Mayer.
I bet that's not true. I bet that's not true at all.
That's just a way of getting back in.
He said, I actually find that people not being into me brings me a real level of reality into my life. Whereas when I was in my early 20s, where I couldn't really miss, I really kind of abused that. Yeah. Now that's out of the question.
Yeah, interesting.
Kathy Bates.
So he recalls going to an Oscar party a couple of years ago and seeing Scarlett Johansson and thinking to himself, she has zero interest in me.
Yeah.
And it was freeing for him.
Yeah.
I mean, she's with fucking Colin Jost. Worst guy.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yes.
But I think when you get a bit of a reputation like him,
right.
If you have a profile, you know that he's not going to do you any favors.
Right. You don't want to be linked to
isn't
him.
That what happened to the guy on the 70s show?
Ashton. Oh, Wilmer Valderrama.
He had a pretty good track record, right?
Yeah, because he had Lohan and... his thing was, though, he was getting them all when they were like 17.
He pulled a...
A very young bait.
A little creepy.
Oh, he was going bait.
So just
get him off the bus.
This article made him sound a little humble, but then he finishes it with, I won't name names, so it's someone famous.
Yeah.
But not so long ago, I gave a girl my number and she said, I probably won't use it. And he said, I actually think it's awesome too, because I would have ruined her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so much for the humble, huh?
Still got that BDE.
And then, on the podcast, he admitted that he had slept. He admitted to sleeping with, quote, less than 500 women.
Wow. Well, there's one thing I have in common with John Mayer.
Right.
Both of us have slept
with the podcast
just
host,
under 500 women.
Said she asked initially if his number was over 500.
Of course it is.
Sorry, over 800.
Of course it is.
And he said no, and then she said then 500 too. He admitted, okay, it's less than 500.
Yeah,
he's lying. Yeah,
you know, you have fucked a lot when you got to lie down when you got to be like no. It's way fewer than 500. I mean, I could do the math on that, John Mayer, and it's more than that. But good for you. Way to be humble. Anything else, Kate?
Yeah.
Let's not make Kennard angry. Let's give him his full.
Don't say anything else. They don't think you're rushing her.
Trying to refresh my page. My computer's doing something weird. But anyway, I want you guys to guess who people have named sexiest man alive. Go.
I already know, so I'll bow out.
Well, I mean, they can't just keep giving it to Clooney, right? Even if he's getting old.
No. I think once you get it once, that's it.
Yeah, so last year
every year it's fucking Adam Levine.
Last year it was Blake Shelton.
Well, I mean, so now they should just cancel the award.
That's insane.
That's what I think.
That's crazy.
But this year they actually might have hit the nail on the head.
Let me think. Well, I can.
Ed Daly.
Also, I'll give you a big hint. Ed, not white. Not white. Not a white person.
Hot black guy. Stringer
Bell. Hot black guy was on a very popular, very cool TV show.
Stringer Bell, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Stringer. Idris Elba. He didn't win the award before Blake fucking Shelton.
That's crazy.
What planet?
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, good job.
Well, good for him. I wonder if his number is 500 or more.
He's a DJ too.
So,
I think he's married.
He is married. He's got a couple of kids from a couple of different relationships.
All right, buddy.
One's like 16 and one's like 4.
Yeah.
The problem is they keep stringing out the Bonds, so he would be a great James Bond, but he's gonna be too old by the time they film a new one.
Yeah, well, he's beautiful and Black Don't Crack.
The first sexiest man alive in 1985.
Hold on, don't tell me. Lee Majors.
Tom Cruise.
No. No.
85. Hold on, don't tell me.
Bob Uecker.
1985.
You're never going
to
get it.
Heart to Heart.
Of course.
You probably read it.
No, it's fucking Tom Selleck, the most beautiful man ever to live.
Heart to Heart.
Just let me say, you're not going to guess. Bob? Then 29-year-old.
Rob Lowe.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Oh. More beautiful on the inside.
Yeah. Peak of his powers.
Okay, so moving on. Let's go to my main story. Salaries of TV's top stars have been revealed.
I love this kind of shit.
The state of California recently barred employers this year from asking prospective workers how much money they made in previous jobs. So this new law was designed to redress wage disparity. Women and minorities obviously pay less than white men at early career stages. And that pay gap tends to stick with workers through their careers. A lot of actors, what they get paid is based on their quote, and their quote is what they were paid on their last job.
In Hollywood, you can find this out a little better, but did anyone ever tell the truth when asked that question? Just go
everyone
up like 30.
They get paid. Yeah,
yes.
Of course.
So here are some of the highest paid people.
Okay,
let's hear this. Javier Bardem for an untitled series on Amazon. $1.2 million an episode.
Per episode?
Per episode.
For Amazon.
See, but those aren't
Jesus.
But they're probably like six episodes.
Yeah, those aren't
episodes.
Those aren't 22 episode seasons.
I can't
still
wait to watch whatever it is. I love that dude.
He's amazing.
Reese Witherspoon, untitled.
Oh, she's on that like
untitled drama coming up on Apple.
So
not
there's an Apple's launching its own streaming service, and they got a show that's got like Aniston,
Steve Carell,
Witherspoon, Carell. It's like all big stars in it.
She's getting $1.1 million.
This
shit blew my mind because this show is straight up trash, but tons of people watch it. Yeah. Norman Reedus, The Walking Dead, $1 million an episode.
That's basic cable.
And he does the same thing every episode.
Isn't that an ensemble show? Do people tune in for Norman Reedus?
I think he's the star.
I thought it was the redhead dude.
I think he left.
I stopped after season one, so I can't.
Yeah, same here.
And then Julia Roberts for Homecoming, which Brian and I
it
just started
cool.
watching on the weekend.
Is it good?
Yeah,
I like it because I think it's building to something, but it's kind of one of those you got to get to the third episode.
Yeah, like shit needs to happen.
How about the dude from Making a Murderer? Is he high paid? I didn't do it.
Stephen Avery.
I didn't do it.
He might not have done it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't see her. I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't seen. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't do it.
Julia's getting $600,000 an episode for that show. Jennifer Aniston, the same. Drama on Apple as Reese Witherspoon, $1.1 million as well.
Yeah, $1.1 million.
And Steve Carell's only getting $600,000 for that same show.
Maybe he's not on it as much.
Sandra Oh, $100,000 an episode, a lot less for Killing Eve, which I heard was a great show.
Yeah, that's a BBC though, right?
They made some good. Speaking of Idris Elba, Luther was a good BBC show. Check that out on Netflix. Oh.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale, is getting $1 million an episode.
Yeah, that's a big hit. So they're on into season three.
Michelle got really into it, and she forced me to watch one. She's like, "You're gonna love it." And I watched it and thought, "Life is so fucking depressing as it is. This just made me sadder." So no, I'm not. It's a good. It's good if you want to be bummed out.
Right. If you want, if you want a picture,
I actually can't get enough. If you want a picture, shit, so.
Mike Pence's Utopia.
Right. That's what I felt like. Handmaid's this is Tale. What is scary sure. that it's happening.
Where women are a commodity.
All these little kids in this show, Riverdale.
Yeah. What is that? It's Archie comics.
Yeah. Yeah, but like kind of like R rated.
I saw one of them on Colbert the other night. It's the kid from like that movie Big Daddy. It was like these twins. Now he's playing Jughead.
The Sandler?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. You know who's Jughead's dad is
they talked about it. The beautiful Luke.
Oh yeah, yeah. Luke, that's not who I'm thinking of though. It's Mark Consuelos.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. So these kids are all getting $40,000 an episode, which is pretty good money.
Yeah, that's good money.
Starting out your career.
Thing is, you got to pay all those agents, like taxes, agents.
Millie Bobby Brown, the star of Stranger Things.
Yes.
350K.
That's pretty good money for a 12-year-old.
Well, she's 15.
15.
So
more
yeah,
than I made when I was 15.
I made $3.50 an hour when I was 15. I think.
Yeah, I made $4.25. I worked as
this Kelly Clarkson for every episode of The Voice. $560,000.
Yeah, that's good money. And you go, hey, that was good. Good job.
Yeah.
Like that's the extent of your job. Really? Hey, you know what?
I felt like you could have.
Yeah. Your voice kind of broke up on that last verse. Probably wasn't your song. Maybe picking a different song.
No, I'm sure we'll see you again. Goodbye. We'll never see you again.
Maybe on a cruise ship. I picture all those people being cruise ship singers.
Right.
Event. Like that's the level of talent that they get. anything else, Kate? Any more?
My last bit of TV news.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune, back for its 40th season.
Fucking Hangman.
4-0.
It's a trash show.
Yeah.
And Jeopardy, back for its 39th.
Oh, Trebek re-upped. He's got a few more years now.
He's like 78. I didn't realize he was that old.
He just beat the shit out of somebody.
Yeah, and that was in a hotel hall. Someone tried to rob his hotel room.
Viral.
And he lit him up.
The executive producer, Harry Friedman, for both shows, It Must Be So Rich.
Oh, yeah.
By now.
These are Merv Griffin productions.
You know why they did Jeopardy? Okay, a little trivia for you. Jeopardy, when he first came up with the concept, you remember that movie Quiz Show where it was like based on a real scandal?
Yeah.
Well, so they kept saying, well, we can't have these quiz shows anymore because people aren't going to go for it. So he said, what if we give them the answers? And people have to come up with the questions. And that's how it happened. Merv Griffin.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This Pat Sajak on Wheel
of
Fortune.
What a no talent.
He was the fucking local weatherman here at Channel 4 in L.A. He was like a failed stand-up comic. And that's what a lot of these weathermen, that's how you ended up as a weatherman. And then he was doing double duty where he was the weatherman and the host of Wheel of Fortune, and now he's just the richest motherfucker around from 40 years of Wheel of Fortune.
Just playing Hangman. It's a crap show. It's terrible.
You think he ever got any cracks at...
No. No, because he was always... She always kept her distance. There was an era where I was coming of age that I watched that show.
He probably tried.
Yeah. Vanna wasn't too bad back in the day.
I certainly.
She's
I wonder
probably
if
well
Alex
into her 60s.
Trebek or who's the host again of
Pat Sajak?
Pat Sajak will have any Me Too moments.
Oh, would have happened by now, you'd think.
Yeah.
All right, is that it, Kate?
That's it.
All right, excellent job. Sorry, Kennard, if that wasn't enough time for you. Did our best. Excellent job all the way around.
You're pretty fucking good.
Kate McManus, great job. Ed Daly.
Thank you.
Excellent work, Kate.
Fantastic work. So happy to be here. For those two people, Kate and Ed, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 242 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Bye.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is baller.